current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. It was the most comfortable win of the season for the Detroit Lions as they beat the New Orleans Saints on the road 28-13 yesterday. Get this, the win was the Lions' first in a road game following Thanksgiving since 1974. Detroit sits at 8-4, has a golden opportunity to finish out their year strong and possibly host an NFL playoff game. Imagine that. Current sports host Al Martin joins us now in the studio to chat about that dream as well as a weekend recap of MSU hoops, volleyball, thoughts on the college football playoff rankings. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Mark? A lot going on.
There is. The Lions finally gave us a game in which we didn't need to see Matthew Stafford pull off some last. I was a little let down, actually.
I'm sure, right?
No last-minute fireworks for the Lions. How encouraging was this win?
Yeah, thank goodness the Lions, they've aged all Lions fans about 10, 15 years this entire year put together, right, Mark? But finally, as you put, finally a game where you just got to sit back, enjoy the fourth quarter, and come back with the Lions win, right? I mean, Matthew Stafford, you mentioned him, Mark. I mean, he's been fantastic. 341 yards on Sunday. Two TDs. Four opportunities, though. What really surprised me in this game, they had four opportunities in the red zone, in the Saints' 20-yard line or in, where they didn't come away with a TD. All four were Matt Prater field goals. But other than that, I mean, you look at the entirety of the offensive production for the Honolulu Blue. Golden Tate has really come along as the season has progressed here, Mark. He's showing why he is one of the best receivers in the league. Actually leads the league in yak yards after catch. He had 8 catches, 145 yards yesterday, had a 66-yard TD early in the fourth, and the Lions only led by 6 points. So that was the moment for me, Mark, that really cemented that win and made fans kind of take a deep breath and say, all right, I think the Lions have this one in the bag. But for me, the big thing here was the Lions' defense, Mark. That was the reason why the Lions were able to pull out this win. And actually, the Lions became the first team in 60 Saints home games to stop Drew Brees from completing a touchdown pass.
Is the Lions' defense improving? I mean, the Saints have a really potent offense.
Certainly. Without a doubt. I think that's a no-brainer. And I think a lot of that has to do with Terrell Austin, defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's doing it without any of the starting linebackers that we saw at the start of this year. He's doing it without a 100% healthy and sackless, mind you, Ziggy Ansah. We're seeing other players step up here. And the Saints, I mean, this is a high-powered offense, Mark. Coming into this game, the number one ranked offense in the entire league. They score 49 points against the 9th-ranked L.A. Rams coming into this matchup the week prior to. And you look at the numbers for that defense for the Saints, Mark. I mean, you know, you look at 422 yards compared to 369 for the Saints. That tied the lowest offensive output all year for the Saints. Mm. And Drew Brees, not one, not two, but 3 INTs. No one could have fathomed that coming down the pike for this team on Sunday.
What has to happen for the Lions to host their first playoff game since whenever?
Yeah,
93.
It's a long time, Mark. And for me, I think that the magic number is 10 right now. You know, you look at, you know, the win against the Saints. The Lions currently sit at 8-4, 2 games better than the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings, who are also, of course, in the NFC North. Both of those teams have a record of 6-6, Mark. So let's look at the schedule. They will play the Chicago Bears, which ousted the San Francisco 49ers pretty handily on Friday. That they will host the Bears this weekend. They play the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys both on the road, then come back home to host the Green Bay Packers, a team that previously beat this squad earlier this season. So they'll be looking for some revenge in that game. If they come out with just 2 of the next 4, they will sit at 10. And no one will catch the Lions. And a big thing here, I mean, we've seen the Lions make the playoffs under Jim Caldwell, but the thing is they have not hosted a playoff game. Mm. Home field advantage is the key, one of the big keys to success in the postseason. The Lions have a golden opportunity to do just that.
Let's transition to college here. The college football playoff rankings were finally revealed. Did the committee get it right?
Oh, they nailed it. They shocked me, I must say, Mark, because I had talked about on Current Sports last week how I wouldn't be surprised because of the mighty dollar Whether or not, you know, Michigan got in or not, I was leaning towards Michigan possibly getting in, but they would have needed some help. Clemson handled business and won the ACC championship, so that cemented Clemson in there. Ohio State, they've been in the top four through the majority of the entire season, and especially in the most recent pre-ranking polls leading up to the final one that we saw on Sunday. Washington, that was the thing for me, and a lot of people will make this argument. You know, they look at the final rankings with Alabama 1, Clemson 2, OSU 3, and Washington 4. How does an Ohio State team that didn't win the Big Ten Conference title get in over a team that did, who also beat them in the head-to-head matchup, that being Penn State? The big thing there is the resume. Ohio State has bigger wins than the Penn State Nittany Lions over the course of the year. Also, Washington had you look at the record here. Washington had a better record at 12-1 than Penn State did at 11-2. However, Washington did play a horrendous non-conference schedule, one that actually ranks second to worst in the nation, Mark. So at the end of the day, though, for me, I thought that the College Football Playoff Committee knocked it out the park. They stayed true to what they're about, and they put in the right personnel.
Was there any chance Michigan would land a spot? And how do Wolverine fans feel about the Citrus Bowl against Florida State?
Well, they're going to feel a little salty, without a doubt. I've seen it on social media already as soon as the rankings were announced. But when Clemson topped Vitek over the weekend, it was a no-brainer for me. You know, you knew that Clemson was getting in, and then Washington moving to 12-1, that was also a no-brainer. They get to go and play in the Citrus Bowl. They will play a really good Florida State team. And I'm just glad that the committee did not sell out here, Mark, because I thought that Washington deserved it over U of M.
Who wins it all?
Oh, Alabama. That's a no-brainer. Everybody knows it. Nick Saban is the highly favored guy in this whole spiel.
The MSU men's basketball team hosted Oral Roberts on Saturday, getting a win that moved them a game over 500. Why was Tom Izzo so displeased afterwards?
Very displeased, Mark. I mean, you would have thought that Tom Izzo lost the game if you would have listened to his post-game rant. Again, a win is a win, but the way Tom Izzo looks at wins is different than reporters or you and I would, right? They won by 4 points, and they let Oral Roberts score 76 that entire game. The defensive effort was not there, and Tom Izzo went on to say in an epic, and I do mean epic, post-game rant, which we'll play later on this afternoon on Current Sports, Mark. He says that, quote, "We did not play hard enough, and we did not play smart enough." Now, granted, Nick Ward, 24 points, 10 rebounds, his first double-double of his career, Cassius Winston, both coming off the bench. Cassius Winston with 15 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. Great. And the bench outscored Oral Roberts, actually get this, 56-0. But when it comes to the defensive effort, that's what I think Tom Izzo was talking about here. You can't make a play on offense and then take plays off. He was not happy about that. And there were a few questions that got under Tom Izzo's skin on Saturday afternoon, and he bit back and said, you know what, I'm not changing the way I coach. I'm coaching these guys tough, and we're going to practice two, maybe even three times on Sunday. Whoa. So it's all about ironing out the wrinkles right now, and Tom Izzo knows how urgent this period is, especially with the absence of Miles Bridges.
What is the update on Miles Bridges?
Yeah, right now, Miles is day-to-day. You know, Izzo announced last week during practice that Miles will be out at the least a couple of weeks. I saw him on Saturday. He does have a boot in that left ankle right now, but he is walking around. He's ditched the crutches, so that's a good thing. And the good thing is he didn't break it. You know, it looks like maybe a severe ankle sprain, but he'll be back, I think, in time for Big Ten play, Mark.
We got 30 seconds, Al, but we want to talk briefly about the MSU women's volleyball team eliminated from the NCAA's second round over the weekend. What do you make of the season?
Yeah, I was there, and it was a great atmosphere, and for Michigan State to host the first NCAA volleyball championship for that program since 2003 was fantastic. A historic year, you know, 13 Big Ten wins, most in the Kathy George era. Winning a season in 20 years, going 24-8, nonetheless, a great year despite being eliminated in the second round, Mark. We'll have more on that this afternoon as well.
Al Martin of Current Sports here on WKAR. Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Mark. Anytime.